Well, at the very end of this teaching in the Canons of Dort on the fifth head of doctrine, Article 15, the very last article, Article 15 notes that while many people hate and reject it, the Church of Christ has always loved and defended it. And I quote, "The Church has always loved and defended this teaching about the perseverance of true believers and about their assurance of it, our assurance of perseverance, a teaching which God has very richly revealed in His Word for the glory of His name and for the comfort of the godly." Some of the teaching there at the very end, Article 15. Indeed, God has very richly revealed this truth to us in His Word, perhaps most richly in the book of Hebrews, which is loaded with exhortations for the saints to persevere. Or another translation, to endure. Press on to the end. It's all over. I will not quote for you all of the examples. It's throughout, almost in every chapter of the book of Hebrews. Very much is a central theme in the book of Hebrews. Well, in chapter 6, the author of Hebrews, by the Holy Spirit, calls us to persevere. And yes, friends, also to pursue the assurance that we will persevere to the end. And so the sermon title, Full Assurance of Hope Until the End, language taken from our passage. Let's read now from Hebrews chapter 6, starting at verse 1. This is God's holy and living word. "Therefore, let us leave the elementary teachings about Christ and go on to maturity, not laying again the foundation of repentance from acts that lead to death, and of faith in God, instruction about baptisms, the laying on of hands, the resurrection of the dead, and eternal judgment. God permitting, we will do so. It is impossible for those who have once been enlightened, who have tasted the heavenly gift, who have shared in the Holy Spirit, who have tasted the goodness of the Word of God and the powers of the age, the coming age, if they fall away, to be brought back to repentance. Because to their loss, they are crucifying the Son of God all over again and subjecting Him to public disgrace. Land that drinks in the rain often falling on it, and that produces a crop useful to those for whom it is farmed, receives the blessing of God. But land that produces thorns and thistles is worthless and is in danger of being cursed. In the end, it will be burned. Even though we speak like this, dear friends, we are confident of better things in your case, things that accompany salvation. God is not unjust. He will not forget your work and the love you have shown Him as you have helped His people and continue to help them. We want each of you to show this same diligence to the very end in order to make your hope sure. We do not want you to become lazy, but to imitate those who through faith and patience inherit what has been promised. When God made His promise to Abraham, since there was no one greater for him to swear by, he swore by himself, saying, 'I will surely bless you and give you many descendants.' And so after waiting patiently, Abraham received what was promised. Men swear by someone greater than themselves, and the oath confirms what is said and puts an end to all argument. Because God wanted to make the unchanging nature of His purpose very clear to the heirs of what was promised, He confirmed it with an oath. God did this so that by two unchangeable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we who have fled to take hold of the hope offered to us may be greatly encouraged. We have this hope as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure. It enters the inner sanctuary behind the curtain where Jesus, who went before us, has entered on our behalf. He has become a high priest forever in the order of Melchizedek." Thanks be to God for His word today from Hebrews 6. Beloved congregation of the Lord Jesus Christ and friends, in our postmodern age, we are often told that we human beings cannot be certain about anything, except the fact that we cannot be certain about anything. Well, left to ourselves, and perhaps there is no way for us to obtain absolute certainty about anything. Again, left to ourselves. But friends, God is true. He is the rock of our salvation, and He means for His children to be sure. Yes, to be certain of our full salvation, to be absolutely assured of our perseverance to the end. The Lord God graciously grants His children this certitude, this assurance of full salvation, and yes, assurance of persevering to the end. And you know what, brothers and sisters, listen, He calls you and me to pursue it, to pursue assurance of our persevering, enduring to the end. Verse 11 here in the NIV, verse 11 says, "We want each of you to show this same diligence to the very end in order to make your hope sure." I have to say I like the English Standard Version better. I would argue that it's actually a better translation of the Greek. Just listen to the English Standard Version, verse 11. "We desire each one of you to show the same earnestness to have the full assurance of hope until the end." Be earnest to have the full assurance of hope until the end. Assurance of our salvation, yes, and it includes assurance of our perseverance to the end. Now, someone hears that word, hope. We think about hope as this ephemeral thing, this very weak sort of sentiment in our hearts. Somebody hears that word hope, and they would argue, many people would argue, well, that word nullifies any talk about assurance, much less you're actually having assurance of salvation. We may hope for final and full salvation. We may hope to persevere to the end, but maybe we'll never reach it. Dear saints, you must know that in the Bible, the word hope is much more than a longing for something not yet in your possession. Friends, in the book of Hebrews, you have to know that word is loaded with substance, not an emotion, not just a feeling in your soul. It's a substantial thing. It's a living thing. We Christians, in our Christian hope, have confidence that one day we will fully enjoy in Christ Jesus what He has already obtained for us and has already begun to give to us. And that's explicit at the end of Hebrews 6. Would you notice once more verses 19 and 20, the very end of the chapter? We have this hope as an anchor. See, substantive. An anchor is this heavy steel thing. It's substantive. We have this hope as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure. It enters the inner sanctuary, into the Holy of Holies, into the very transcendent dwelling of God behind the curtain, where Jesus, who went before us, has entered on our behalf. He has become a high priest forever in the order of Melchizedek. See, Christians can gain full assurance about that for which we hope because Jesus has already secured it as our prize and is already giving us a real taste of it. Before we give any more attention to our certainty, our personal assurance, okay, let's call it our subjective personal assurance of salvation, our assurance of our own individual perseverance. We need to realize that there is, and friends, there always must be an objective certainty attaching to the perseverance of the saints. Now, what do I mean about objective? I mean that regardless of how you subjectively feel about it, about your own perseverance or that of anybody else, we have to confess biblically that there is this outside of us objective, absolute reality of the perseverance of the saints. Because of who God is and what our triune God has done to save a people for Himself. So listen to Article 8 Fifth head of doctrine in the canons of Dort, this is Article 8. So it is not by their own merits or strength, but by God's undeserved mercy that they, Christians, neither forfeit faith and grace totally, nor remain in their downfalls to the end and are lost. With respect to themselves, notice, this not only easily could happen, but also undoubtedly would happen. But with respect to God, it cannot possibly happen, since his plan cannot be changed, his promise cannot fail, the calling according to his purpose cannot be revoked. The merit of Christ, as well as his interceding and preserving, cannot be nullified, and the sealing of the Holy Spirit in our hearts, right? The sealing work of the Holy Spirit in Christians can neither be invalidated nor wiped out. That is quite a gorgeous part of the fifth head there in Article 8. And it, friends, it brings me to this first very basic point. Let me just summarize it. All true Christians will persevere to the end because of the unchanging purpose of our loving Savior. All true Christians will persevere to the end because of the unchanging purpose of their loving Savior. Look, it is the Christian who is called to persevere, right? It's all over the book of Hebrews. Again, we have need of endurance, of perseverance to the end. But if it depended on us, not one single Christian would succeed. Not one. Hebrews 6, the earlier part of the chapter, contains this very hard saying. Very hard saying about people in the church who fall away. They crucified Jesus all over again. The author says it's impossible for them to be restored. Many people would say, well, obviously, that contradicts the perseverance of the saints. You know what? I've heard too many Calvinists really fall short when it comes to this passage. This warning about falling away. Oh, well, that's a hypothetical thing. That doesn't really happen. No, friends, it happens. People who come to profess faith in Christ, join the church, baptized and discipled for some time, all of it, they fall away. Now, there's a whole lot that can be said about that, but let us, okay, here today, let us never say, oh, well, that couldn't happen to me. Listen, if we really know our sinfulness, we should realize, left to ourselves, we easily could and most definitely would fall away. Can you say that about yourself? I mean, that's the very humble confession we find in Article 8. We easily could and most definitely would fall away, left to ourselves. The reason true Christians will not fall away is not found in us at all. It is totally found in our God, whose loving purpose toward his chosen people never changes. Amen? That is a glorious truth all over Scripture. God's purpose does not change. We change, but we believe in an immutable God, immutable, unchanging God. His purpose does not waver. It does not change. Immediately after mentioning the full assurance of our hope, the author of Hebrews turns to the story of Abraham at the end of chapter 6. Why does he turn to the story of Abraham? Well, not because Abraham was so strong to persevere by faith in and of himself. Because if you know Abraham's story, you know that wasn't the case. Abraham did waver at times. But the author of Hebrews goes to Abraham in the book of Genesis because God made great promises to Abraham over and over again about the land, promises about many descendants, right? They'd be like the sand of the seashore, like the stars of the heavens, that you could not number all the descendants, all the offspring that God would give Abraham. And all this blessing of kingdom salvation. Great promises over and over again. Genesis 12, 13, 15, 22. It's all over the story of Abraham. These promises of God. Well, finally in chapter 22, God does more than promise. He takes an oath in his own name. Unconditional oath that he would do for Abraham what he had repeatedly promised to do for Abraham. So again, notice from Hebrews 6, verse 17. Because God wanted to make the unchanging nature of his purpose very clear to the heirs of what was promised, therefore he confirmed all of his promises with a what? With an oath. God did this so that by two unchangeable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we who have fled to take hold of the hope offered to us may be greatly encouraged. Okay, friends, we change. Our faith can be so fickle. Our love for God often fails. Every day, my love for God fails. Can you confess it about yourself? But see, his gracious, loving purpose to save his people never changes. That loving purpose of God was about us Christians. Let me tell you, friends, as clearly as I possibly can, that loving purpose of God, which was about you Christian people, was never dependent on you Christians. God the Father unconditionally loves certain sinners. He chose them. That's the first part of the canons of Dort. We won't back up to unconditional election, but he chose them for salvation from eternity past. And God will preserve them forever. We talk about our persevering to the end. It's because God's unchanging purpose leads him to preserve his chosen ones in Christ Jesus to the end. Hallelujah. God the Son redeemed us, the chosen of God, given to him to redeem. He did it with his shed blood at the cross. And he continually intercedes. The risen Savior, having purchased us with his blood, he goes on forever interceding for us. He will preserve us. Hallelujah. God the Spirit is sent to seal the elect as God's own possession. And the Holy Spirit takes up residence in God's children and sanctifies us. And the Holy Spirit will never leave us. The Holy Spirit preserves us forever to the very end. Hallelujah. All true Christians, now there are people who fall away. We see them, they look like Christians and they fall away. They were not really saved to begin with. But we do have to say, this is the good news. True Christians, what pertains to them, the author of Hebrews says, we have hope of better things. We're assured of better things for you. Things that pertain to salvation. Those who truly have salvation through the grace of our triune God, they cannot be lost. Because of the unchanging, loving purpose of our God and Savior, who powerfully preserves his people. Just listen to one other passage. You don't have to turn to John chapter 10, but Jesus says, verse 27, my sheep listen to my voice. I know them. You can hear election here. And they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one can snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and the Father are one. Beautiful promises there from Jesus about the perseverance of the saints, his true elect people, because of God's unchanging purpose and almighty power. But can this objective certainty, which is a reality in the triune God, our Savior, can that objective certainty bring to the hearts of us believers a subjective certainty, assurance of full salvation, assurance of perseverance to the end? The answer, friends, is a very emphatic yes. And this gets a good deal of ink here at the end of the fifth head of doctrine in the canons of Dort. Would you just notice with me Article 9? Concerning this preservation, Article 9 says, preservation of those chosen to salvation and concerning the perseverance of true believers in faith, believers themselves can and do become assured in accordance with the measure of their faith, by which they firmly believe that they are and always will remain true and living members of the church, and that they have the forgiveness of sins and eternal life. My second point, friends, the Christian should pursue full assurance about persevering to the end, because God is pleased to give it to the heirs of his promises. Now, this is the point I'm making to you personally. You should pursue it. We're not just talking about this assurance that other people can have. Do you want assurance of salvation? Of course, if you're a Christian, you do. And you may have it. You ought to pursue it. The Christian should pursue full assurance about persevering to the end because God is pleased to give it to the heirs of his promises. Back to our passage here, Hebrews 6, and the key verse. In verse 11, the author says, "We want each of you to show this same diligence to the very end in order to make your hope sure." And I want to give you again the English Standard Version. Verse 11 says, "And we desire each one of you to show the same earnestness to have the full assurance of hope until the end." Be earnest, be serious about you, yourself, having the full assurance of your hope until the end. The author of Hebrews often calls the saints to persevere, again, to endure to the end, but he also exhorts us to pursue the full assurance of salvation. It's sort of an interesting dynamic. He's telling the saints again and again, when you're saved, you're saved. God doesn't try to save. He does it. It's done. It's certain. And yet he's also saying, pursue assurance of this reality. You don't make your salvation a reality at all, but you can gain more and more assurance of that reality. And the author of Hebrews is telling us to pursue assurance of our enduring to the end because, friends, this is a good thing. Our God and Savior means for his children, his beloved children in Christ, to enjoy this good thing. Think about a father who has adopted some children. Now, if he's a loving father, he does not want his adopted children to live with this insecurity that they might get kicked out of the family, could lose their inheritance. How much more does our most perfectly loving Father in heaven want his children in Christ Jesus to know that we are loved and redeemed, secure in the family, heirs, co-heirs with our elder brother Jesus? You see, friends, our loving Heavenly Father wants us to have that assurance. He doesn't want us to be insecure about our position in the family. Again, verse 17, because God wanted to make the unchanging nature of his purpose very clear to the heirs, his children, heirs of what was promised, he confirmed it with an oath. God did this so that by two unchangeable things, the promise and the oath, in which it is impossible for God to lie, we who have fled to take hold of the hope offered to us may be greatly encouraged. Another way of putting it, assured. Great assurance. God wanted Abraham and all the heirs of the promises to be convinced, to be fully assured of their glorious kingdom inheritance, a gift of his grace. So God not only promised it, and again, he promised it repeatedly, but he then backed up and confirmed the promise with an oath, an unconditional oath in his own name. In the fullness of time, God sent his son to secure that inheritance for all of God's chosen people. Jesus did it by his obedience unto death. The risen Savior now enjoys that glorious kingdom inheritance. You know, it's his inheritance by rights. He's the eternal Son. That's his glorious kingdom inheritance. And yet we receive it as a gift of God's grace through adoption in Christ Jesus. The risen Savior enjoying that kingdom inheritance. He is there in glory, not only reigning over all things, but he's the priest, king in the line of Melchizedek. Yes, king who rules and priest who is always interceding on our behalf before God, the Father, that he would get from the Father all that we need to press on. Beautiful teaching here, friends. We are to be assured of these things. How? Well, very simple, by faith. We gain assurance in the first place by looking outside of ourselves. People will talk about faith, and you'll hear it all the time. People will say about how much they value their faith. Please don't use that language. Be bold. Talk about value in Jesus. Because faith is the empty hand that grabs hold of that great Savior and receives the gift of salvation through his blood. It's not so much that we value our faith. We value the great Savior, right? But yes, we can have assurance through faith. Faith which looks to that Savior, like Abraham. We look outside of ourselves, we hear God's promises, We are to believe those promises. But listen, brothers and sisters, we're in a much better position than Abraham was 4,000 years ago. God has fulfilled so many of his promises. He has fulfilled those promises to Abraham. We've seen it. In the fullness of time, God sent his son to bring about that fulfillment of his promises. Our Lord Jesus accomplished kingdom salvation by his life, death, and resurrection. So by looking to Jesus and by trusting in his work, we may gain assurance of full salvation that is ours personally. And we may gain assurance, yes, that we shall persevere to the end. Article 10 here, would you notice with me briefly? Article 10 in the fifth head of doctrine. Accordingly, this assurance does not derive from some private revelation beyond or outside the Word of God, but from faith in the promises of God, which he has very plentifully revealed in his Word for our comfort. From the testimony of the Holy Spirit, Romans 8 says, the testimony of the Holy Spirit, he testifies with our spirit that we are God's children and heirs. And finally, we actually gain more and more assurance also from a serious and holy pursuit of a clear conscience and of good works, a pursuit of good works. For assurance to take root in our hearts, we need the gospel of grace above all. We need to hear it. God's word of grace. The Holy Spirit, as we find there in Romans 8, the Holy Spirit will testify through the word of grace, through the gospel. He will testify with our hearts that indeed we believers are God's redeemed and adopted children in Christ Jesus and co-heirs with Christ. But the Holy Spirit brings that powerful and personal witness to your hearts through the word of Christ, and through the sacraments. A little bit more from the Canons of Dort here, Article 14. Just as it has pleased God to begin this work of grace in us by the proclamation of the gospel, this work of grace being we persevere and we have assurance of our persevering to the end, so he preserves and continues and completes his work by the hearing and reading of the gospel, by meditation on it, by its exhortations, threats, promises, and also by use of the sacraments. The sacraments are not in the first place how we show our devotion to God. They are means of grace by which he brings assurance to his children of full salvation in Jesus. The Christian does not gain assurance of salvation. We do not gain assurance of our persevering to the end by looking to ourselves. Not in the first place. We look outside of ourselves. We listen to the promises of God. We know they're fulfilled in Christ. We say, amen. God is true. He's done it. Trust in that Savior, assurance comes in accordance with God's word through the power of the Spirit to you believe. And yet, as Article 10 says, Christians do take a look at themselves. Let's not start there, but that is part of a genuine Christian life. We always want our focus, especially to be outside of ourselves, looking to Jesus. But we do take a look at ourselves. We cannot help it. Christians are to find fruit of the Spirit in our own lives. We grow in assurance through, and I quote from Article 10, a serious and holy pursuit of a clear conscience. So we try to avoid sin because it will bring doubts if we walk in sin. We pursue a clear conscience, and assurance grows as we pursue a life of good works, Article 10 says as well. Because God graciously saves sinners, not merely to make us his children, but also to conform us to the image of our elder brother Jesus. Do you know that's God's purpose? Romans 8:29. To conform us to the image of his son, Jesus, the firstborn among many brothers. Total transformation. Are you pursuing it? We can expect to grow in assurance as we grow up in Jesus, to be more obedient children of God. Of course, all of this means that if you neglect the means of grace, and what are the means of grace? The Word, the sacraments, and prayer. Friends, if we neglect these things, we cannot expect faith in Christ to be active in our souls. And if we neglect Him, we cannot expect our faith to be at all fruitful in good works. He's the vine. He says, if you're going to be a living and fruitful branch, you must abide in Him. Live, dwell in Him. Walk with Him moment by moment. That's the life of a Christian, always in prayer. If we will neglect the means of grace and we will not look to Jesus and depend on Him for fruitfulness, friends, you know what will happen in our lives? Not growth and assurance, but rather doubts. Doubts will arise. Article 11, you have to notice in conclusion, friends, that there is provision for doubt. It's interesting. You're getting this sermon on assurance of our persevering to the end. Let's be honest. We do not always have that assurance. We do struggle with many issues in this broken world and with our own sins. And so doubts do arise. The canons of Dort, very pastoral here, the canons of Dort in Article 11 acknowledge that you will have times of real doubt. Article 11, meanwhile, Scripture testifies that believers have to contend in this life with various doubts of the flesh, and that under severe temptation, they do not always experience this full assurance of faith and certainty of perseverance. It goes on to say, God does not leave us there. But we know we often go there to doubt rather than assurance. And that's because of our own weakness. It's because of all the brokenness and the many tribulations of the world. It can be on account of our ignorance. It certainly will be doubts in our hearts will be a reality because of our ongoing sinfulness. Assurance of salvation, that confidence that we shall persevere to the end, does not belong to the very essence of faith, but to its well-being, its health. We want to pursue that health, the well-being of faith. Therefore, dear saints, let's keep exercising ourselves in faith and in repentance by making continual use of the means of grace. This is how we receive Jesus. Let's make, yes, in your homes, make as much use as you can of the means of grace, which God has promised to use, not only to save, but to grow you in the faith and to make assurance a reality in your heart. That assurance does not lead Christians to proud self-confidence, spiritual laziness, much less to wickedness. You know, Arminians will say, well, if you get this assurance, you're going to persevere to the end. You'll just get lazy and you'll become very, you know, careless in the Christian life. And you might even just go on living in sin because you say, oh, once saved, always saved. No, that's not Reformed biblical Christianity at all. That's an absolute falsehood. And we do not speak this way. We certainly do not teach this way in our Reformed churches. Assurance does not lead to pride and self-confidence. It does not lead, not in the true Christian. Assurance of our persevering to the end does not lead to laziness and wickedness. To the contrary, personal assurance in your heart, dear brother and sister, actually will increase your humility. It will lead you to adore your triune Savior who preserves you. It will move you to be more pious. It will move you to be more careful to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. This is the beautiful teaching we find in Articles 12 and 13. We're not going to read those articles in the fifth head of doctrine. But in conclusion, friends, let's just notice this truth once more from Hebrews 6. It's verse 11. Once again, I'm going to read it from the English Standard Version, verse 11 and 12. We desire each one of you to show the same earnestness, to have the full assurance of hope until the end. And notice, does this make you lazy? Not at all. Does it make you careless in spiritual things? Not at all. So that you may, verse 12, so that you may not be sluggish, but imitators of those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. You see, the full assurance about our persevering to the end is a good thing. God will give it to His children. He wants you to have it because that assurance deepens the joy of the Christian. That assurance invigorates our worship, makes us more joyful in worship. That assurance makes us more active in faith, increases our fruitfulness that comes forth from true faith. Pursue assurance of your persevering to the end, dear saints. All of these things actually constitute the very way of perseverance until we inherit the promised kingdom. Brothers and sisters in Christ, praise be to God. He will bring to completion that good thing he has begun in us. Let's keep our eyes fixed on Jesus. Hebrews 12:1, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.